In prayer time yesterday, one of the things that we ask is, are there any prayer requests? And different things are brought forward sometimes. And then even if we don't say them out loud at the beginning, we still pray about the different things and situations. And one of the topics came up on how difficult it can be to take care of injured, sick, hurting loved ones. And it was awareness of how many members of our congregation have that special task. Obviously, when they're little and you're still nursing them, taking care of them, getting up in the middle of the night, as a grandpa, I go, oh, thank God I'm old and I don't have to do that anymore. Okay? But as a young family, you're still doing that. So this is not just that awareness that as people get older, they sometimes need attention. On the other hand, because my mother has been in the situation and a lot of that burden has fallen on my sister, and my other sister happened to be in town for a little while, and all these different things happen. And any of you who have either gone through that in the recent past, like Carol and her mother or Sandy and her father, and some of the different things that people have had, and we thought of those people in our midst that are dealing with medical issues that require special attention, and then, you know, as people get old, that special attention that's required, we're just hearing some different things. And one of the people shared, they said, you know, it is really tough. My mother and father, they're getting senile. And, I just can't. And she was grieving, you know, just the difficulty and the hardship of how difficult it can be, and how they sometimes are, you know, taking their pills wrong, and all the different, we were going through this a little bit, and then all she said, you know, I was feeling that way, and this was her own testimony, and she said, and I happened to meet someone else who also just recently had their mother die after an extended period of invalid inability to work, and she said, now how do I talk to her, because she wanted to give her condolences, and she wanted to share, and she said, you know, I'm really sorry that your mother has passed, and I know how hard that must have been having to take care of her and all the other challenges and burdens. And she said the lady looked at her and she smiled and she said, I counted every minute of it a privilege. Now, she's not here, or you'd have heard it from her mouth, but she said God spoke to her heart. Do you understand? Just a decision of how I look at a particular person, situation, or event can change an entire perspective, because one of the things that she became very consciously aware of, and somebody else in the prayer group yesterday said, we have to be so careful, because how would you like to know that you missed out on a time, a moment, an opportunity, or something? And yet everyone understands that tension and that balance. But that woman said with a very sincere heart, I counted every moment of it a privilege. And I go, that's a tone, an attitude, and a spirit within that woman that we need in multiple situations. It's not just a single opportunity when mom is asking the same question that my sister has answered three times and I've answered twice. It's not just helping the grandkids and grandpa's chasing them around the house going, oh my goodness, I got another 3 hours to go. As you realize, grandpa, now can we go outside to the park? I go, sure. And all of the, it's an attitude that God wants to pour in us. Now that blessed me. It blessed me because she was confessing what I sometimes feel, which I know you may have struggled through in your own way. And she was also hearing and testifying to the willingness of God to hear that word. What a privilege. What a privilege. So how do we live in the middle of a little bit of that tension? I was listening to a preacher, and I kind of listened to a lot of guys talk, and he looked at this one section of Scripture, and he said, have you ever heard the passage that says, be holy like I am holy? And he asked this question. He said, have ever you asked how God said that? And I said, well, that's a fascinating question. Because I know the tonal or intonation of our words carry with it an immense amount of weight, okay? So if I raise my finger at you and I get kind of big in presence and I go, be holy. The way God is holy, the way I am holy, as God said. That has a tendency to crush you, squeak you down, and kind of, yes, I'll try hard, I'm sorry. He said, I don't think that's quite the way God said it. And he said, you're going to have to use your imagination a moment. And he said this. He said, try to understand God looking into your eyes. And if I could have Hazel back up here, there she is. Bring Hazel up, as long as you're willing. Just watch this moment. All right, just right there. Perfect. Here's God. Here's these words. And I want you to picture them from the heart of a God who loves you, who knows your weakness, who understands every pain, who carried your weakness, your fear, your pain, your disappointments. And I want you to picture this. Ready? Hazel, be holy, like I'm holy. You feel the gift? It's a gift. It's meant not to be an abusive thing. You can sit down. It's not meant to be an abusive thing. It's meant to say, I have this gift of holiness for your heart. I want to give it to you. I don't want to beat you with it. I don't want to judge you with it. All of that has been done at the cross. It is over. I have this anointing, this willingness of opening my heart to you and just reaching into you like a precious child going, be bathed in holiness so that it pours out of everything in your thoughts, every part of your heart, everything that happens. And I thought, what a difference, just a moment slowing down at that particular phrasing, at that particular moment, understanding that God's called to holiness on my part. I used to always think, my goodness, well, how stupid can a God be to ask me, I've got to be careful how I say that, don't I, with the kids, to understand. I go, God, I can't be holy. Even that woman's testimony makes me convicted. God whispers, puts his arms around you. Oh, honey. Oh, precious child. You know, if Hazel fell down and scraped her knee, you understand. Oh, honey, come here. And he blesses you. I haven't asked for holiness from you because you can perform it. I've asked to give you and have you use the gift that I've poured into you. You see, that spirit that said, I have understood what a privilege, that mindset, that thing is a gift to me. I may not taste it. I may not let it manifest in my life. I might even fight it because I'm just too angry and bitter. But the mercy of God is gracious enough to say, I have poured even into you, you old grouch. The mercy of God. I can help you love your enemies. I can teach you holiness, and you'll cry at the way you can love people that even hate you. And you'll be weeping for those who are your enemies because you're praying for them. Oh, dear God, help. And you'll put that person's name there, and your heart will be new. Because like a little child, you have to receive. What did he say? He receives the kingdom like a little child. That blessing over Hazel, that is a blessing that she won't resist. Her mother takes her in her arms and feeds her and nurtures her and cares for her and all the things mom and dad and family do for her. She just receives and she receives and she receives. And God goes, would you please, like a little child, just put up your arms and start receiving what I've given to you and what I want for you and what I've desired for you. And I go, that is such a picture and such an image that it struck me. And so I go into this section. I found this section in Second Corinthians. And I began to understand this unbelievable picture of the ministry of reconciliation. And it says this, verse 18, I want to focus on. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting, adding up, not tallying men's sins against them. We are so caught sometimes in the bitterness and the hurt and the frustration and the reality. They're not unreal feelings. They're real. I got woken up at 2:30 in the morning. I had to get dressed. I had to go over to mom's house. I got out there. The car wouldn't start. And then I had to call my sister, and her husband had to go over. And I go, and then I had to try to get back to sleep. And then I had to teach the whole day. Right? We got those stories, right? And God says, I am more than able to give you the strength to even survive this. And you go, Lord, I have so far to go. And he goes, yes, child. But it's because you won't receive. You don't understand what I'm trying to pour into your life. And so this ministry, like I've shared before, of reconciliation, this little passage that says these things, this idea of being reconciled, it means mutually made different toward one another. Reconciliation means a mutual exchange has taken place. Reconciliation is found in the Greek. It says, the restoration of divine favor. And God is going, have you ever felt we felt in prayer yesterday? There's always almost immediately a condemnation that just kind of creeps over you. I'm no good. I'm a terrible son. I'm a rotten pastor. And it just piles up on you. And God says, stop it. Just stop it. Be holy. Here it is. I will empower. I will release. Trust me. Next time you're hurting, pray. Seek me. Turn your face toward me. You understand? This ministry of reconciliation is the truth that God is not angry at me because of the fact I fell on my face again, because of the fact I got so tired I couldn't put up with those kids or this situation, whatever it is. God is reaching into my world. He stands me back up on my feet, and he holds me until I stop crying. Now, if I as a father can figure that out when my kid has scraped his knee, or I as a grandpa can figure it out when they have gotten a sliver in their hand or they've gotten afraid of something or whatever else it can be, I figured out how to pick them up and love them and comfort them and speak tenderly to them and let their own timing work itself out. And I'm a miserable, just a regular human being. If I can figure that out from my perspective and have that kind of intense love and nurturing and encouragement and understanding as a grandpa or a dad or whatever else you have to go back to, a mom, whatever it is, how much more does my Heavenly Father speak to my heart? And he whispers, come here, you and I are reconciled. And he says, I need you to let that flow out of you. Just let it flow out of you. This woman's testimony was not a testimony of judgment. This woman's testimony was not a beating someone over the head with the gospel. This woman's testimony was, God has changed my life and heart so much that I counted it a privilege to take care of my ailing mother in all of the struggle, in all of the pain. And when she looked back on that memory, out of all the things that she chose to share, was, I counted it a privilege. And I go, that's the work of the Spirit of God in the people of God, where the testimony of reconciliation comes out in a way that people just look at you and they, How can you do that? How can I do what? How can you say such nice things about your wife, even though I saw her behave that way? How can you be so kind and forgiving to your husband, even though he did that? How come you can love those people you work with? Don't you know what our boss is like? How come you don't sound like we sound? And I go, oh, Lord. You see, the ministry, the service, the washing feet of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation is that God isn't angry at us and that God is not angry at the world. God is seeking to bring about this change. That's why this little section ends in chapter 6 and it says, you are God's fellow workers. We are compatriots with him. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. I just poured it out over baby Hazel. And in the spiritual realm, that is a gift that God has poured into that precious child through the Holy Spirit, by the command of God, by the word of God, and it is hers. She may not fully comprehend how to use it, but it is hers for all eternity. If she desires to use it, God will pour more into her as she pours it out. It says that we don't receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, my graciousness, I heard you. And the day of salvation, I helped you. And I tell you now is the time of God's favor. That moment in prayer yesterday blessed my socks off. Not only me, but every one of the people that were there. Because the Holy Spirit, speaking through that testimony of this woman who I've never met and don't even know, spoke right to my heart. And it said, you are more than able. I have given to you and will give to you and pour into you that kind of mercy and grace and tenderness. And I go, Lord, make me receptive like a little child to be picked up and held and carried where I need to go. Hazel was handed, if you watch today, to two or three different people. And she just, okay, okay. She was blessed and loved, I believe, fully by each one of the people that touched her or held her. And here she is. She just received. She just received, and God says, that's what I want you to do. It's almost like lay back, look right into God's eyes and say, Lord, I know there's more. God whispers, yes. He said, I want it all. I want the grace that I need for today and the grace and power I'll need for tomorrow, and wake me up each morning so that I cry out, Lord, your grace sufficient for this day that you've set in front of me, make me a vessel in your hands. Receiving Christ as a little child. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we're in tough circumstances. Families have challenges in front of them. Individuals are spending many, many hours and time trying to be supportive and meeting needs. And I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just all rest on them, but I pray that we would receive that privilege as a church, as a fellowship, as extended family, as friends to carry some of that. And then, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand like a precious little child, handed gently and lovingly from loving arm to loving arm, to receive that strength to walk, to move, to be taken care of because we cannot do it ourselves. Help us to receive you and your kingdom as a little child, Lord, and help us to live it out so that we can manifest that word of truth without any kind of arrogance or judgment, without any kind of show-offness at all. But instead, Lord, help us to count it a privilege to be supportive of families with children, to love our sons and daughters, to forgive those who have sinned against us. Help us and count it a privilege to pray for our boss that is insensitive, uncaring, and rude. Help us to pray for political officials that just seem so far away from what they should be doing, what I want them to be doing in some cases, Lord, what you want them to be doing. Help us to intercede for the hurting. Help us to not rise up in judgment when another brother or sister comes to the end of their wits and cries out, I don't know if I have any more to give. And then, Lord, help us to reach into their arms and world and lift them up and be your message of the gospel, your truth that they are loved and valued, and help us put legs and actions to our words so that people know not only are they prayed for, but they can be encouraged and helped, and we are willing to do that for one another. Lord, build that heart in this church. Teach us what a ministry of reconciliation sounds like and looks like. Teach us to understand what you're trying to get us to grab hold of so that, Lord, we understanding, be holy. I've blessed you. Let it show. Let it just bathe you in the warmth and refreshment of my love. Be holy. Lord, let that be in our hearts. Pray in your name. Amen.